Accession number 14975, William Rochester, Reel 7.
Mr. Rochester, Reel 7. How long had you been in the forces when your draft came up, Mr. Rochester?
Oh, I would say 2.5 years, 3 years. I'm not sure. I think it was the beginning of 1933 that I went overseas. I'm not sure.
And this comes up on battalion orders, does it?
Yes.
The information.
Yes. I was told that by the sergeant major of the company that I was going on the next draft. And then it comes on part 2 orders that will be posted on draft, and that. Then there's a draft list comes on, and you're on the list. Well, I'd been on that before, but this time I was actually gone. I'd been warned by the sergeant major that I was actually gone.
How did you feel about it?
I was all for it. I mean, I wanted to go see something different. I wanted to be with, because I was causing a lot of problems with being the added one name to the company list with the platoon. The company sergeant, the orderly sergeant. If you forgot to put my name on, the RSM used to play a role with them. You're not doing your job properly. I don't think that was right at all.
How was the draft constituted? Obviously, be a number of names, and there'll be a date as to when you were going. Is that right?
Yeah.
Between the actual information of getting to and going, how was it done then? Were there a series of parades or something?
No. It was there was nothing about it at all. It was just, we were told that it would be a few days before we got, and it was the same as all the other prone. We were just formed up on the barrack square, and the bus come and took us away down to Southampton. And we went over on a troop ship.
Did the bus take you the whole way just to the station?
Took us to the station, then we were on the train to go down to, right down to by there.
Do you recall how many was in that draft?
There was four sergeants from the depot, going back after the tour of duty at the depot, and I think there was about 30 of the other ones, 30, 36, something like that. But I think the total was about 36 on the draft.
Had you been issued with any additional uniform because you were going to another part of the world at this stage?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. We were told we'd get our issue out there. I don't think I had anything different at all. We just went to our khaki. I know it was damn warm when we got there.
Can we talk about your memories of the journey itself? It's a long way. Was it a troop ship you were going over on?
Yes.
What were the conditions like on board?
Crowded. Very, very much crowded. And I think I slept on deck. You got the pally, you got your pally, what do you call them thing, carried up, just slept on deck. There were two sergeants as well. They slept up on the top. What a corner up on the top, and we slept on there. And we took turns of taking each other's. Well, we carried 3 hammocks down every morning down, put them in the hammock on, which is right at the bottom of the ship. And I was always glad to get back up again. No, I was a bad sailor. I didn't vomit or anything at all, but I didn't feel so good when I was down the bottom of the ship. I was all right on top. I was fine on there.
Did NCOs not have accommodation apart from the men?
The sergeants? No, these two sergeants were on the top with me. They may have had somewhere else, I don't know, but these two stopped on the top with me. They said they liked the fresh air as well. Yes, it was quite a good journey, actually. I mean, the ship was crowded, there's no doubt about it. And I didn't see much of it, actually, with being on the top all the time. And the only time I saw anything was when we queuing up to go down the stairs to put the hammocks back when it was my turn and come back again. Otherwise it was quite good. But one of the sergeants was chosen for a duty sergeant for a couple of days, which meant he had to go through the ship, you know, down one end and right through the ship up the other end, twice in a night for 2 nights, for two journeys, like 2 nights. And he asked if I would like to go with him. I said, sure. Well, we had to go around at night time, you know, after 6 o'clock. And he said, we'd better make it a bit later than that. So anywhere between 6 and 9, he had to go right through the ship. So we went down somewhere about 8 o'clock, 8:30, somewhere around that, and I went with him, you know, right the front end, the back end of the ship, or whatever you call it, down the bottom. Then we went right away along one, the first deck, all the way in. And what a job getting through there with hammocks hanging. You know, you hanging all ways, and you're ducking underneath it. I was nearly lost going through there. And fortunately, there was a sailor from the ship in front of us leading us through, otherwise we've never found the other end. It's absolutely packed with them. They're on the floor as well. You've got to be careful you don't stand on them through. Yeah, we got right away through to the far end. Then we had to climb up and come along. There's two decks. There was three decks, but I think there was only two decks we had to do. There was somebody else doing the other one at the bottom. And it took us an hour and a half. It was about 9:30 by the time we got back.
The conditions must have got
absolutely crowded
when it was hot.
Mm-hmm. And this of course was before we got the beer biscuit. He could ask straight away, you see, and of course he was on that every 3 weeks, and I went with him every time. There was another sergeant went with us as well. The three of us went through one night. The little fellow said, John, I think it was, he called him John. He said, I'll come with you now if you don't mind, but you lead. I said, and I'll follow you.
What was the purpose of it?
Just checking that everything was all right, that there's nobody smoking. If there was smoking, they were careful. I don't think there was any smoking allowed at all down there. And just make sure that everything was all right. People were there, and they were sleeping, or they were lying in the hammock. There was no fighting going on, nothing like that. Just the things were all right, you know, through. That was his job. Make sure that the ship was okay, nothing, no problems, no trouble going through.
Were there any problems? Because it was a long journey, you're going into the tropics and the heat.
Well, there was a bit of a problem the second time we went through. We were at the tail end of the... We hadn't quite got through with Biscay. And we expected some problems there with the water. But, you know, it was like a lake. It was beautiful. We had problems in the Mediterranean. We had 3 days bit of torment on there. And one of those 3 days was our night for going through. We just got, we went through early. We said, let's get this over as quick as we can before, in case it gets too dark and it gets, you know, they had torch to go through. And there was little lights in the ship as well, not much, but it was pretty black with the people as well as the darkness. And anyhow, we were going through there, and the food was being issued up. It was more on the floor than anywhere else. We've gone through the middle and the ship tipped over like that, and all the ruddy plates come down, the blocks fell down off the side, you know, and on the floor. It was a hell of a heck of a mess right through. We were pleased to get out, I'll tell you, get through and get out. We only saw two tables tip up the whole lot, like the rest of the people were hanging onto them and holding the stuff on the deck, you know. But it was really bad. 3 days on that stock it was really bad. That was the time when I thought I was going to vomit there, but I didn't. One of the sergeants was vomiting. He was doing it with his handkerchief to try and keep it off the floor. You know, you got paper bags to put it to vomit in if you could. And the thing was, if you did any on the floor, you cleaned it up. Well, I don't think you'd like to go down and clean that up, because people were vomiting all over the place. It was all washed out the next day. The Navy gave a good job the next day. All the hammocks out and everything out. Some of them had the hammocks hanging over the side of the ship, tied on the ship to dry off and tidy up a bit, while the Navy went down and hosed the whole floor out down there. It was dreadful.
Did you have any other duties yourself on board the ship?
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. I made a duty by the lads that was on, going over, trying to stop them from gambling the, what do you call it, crown and anchor? The Navy lads. They were robbing them left, right and centre. Anybody who went to play with them, they all come away with no money. It was illegal to do it on the ship. There's notices all over the place as well, you know, but they were still doing it down there. It was terrible.
How, other than the gambling aspect of it, how were the men kept occupied?
Well, that to keep themselves occupied. There were sing songs in that. They used to get into parties and sing songs, and there was a lot of. Now, what did they call it? It's bingo now, but it wasn't bingo. Housey housey. That's what they called it. A lot of housey housey going on, and that was run by the army people that were on the ship on duty. There was, I think, about 10 or a dozen sergeants, army sergeants, on the ship. Duty people on the ship, and they were organising these, and the money went to charity. It went to the some charity or other. They were telling you that there was notices on the where they were playing it. You know that the profit of this goes to charity. They did mention the charity. I can't remember what it was now, like, but the other ones were the navy blokes doing, or the ship blokes were doing, and that was for them. The crown and anchor was for them, but there was a lot of bingo. A housey-housey going on. That's about all they had.
Was there any opportunity for sport or
no.
PE, no. PT?
Some of them used to run around the ship a little bit. They couldn't get right round. They had to go so far up and turn around and come back. On one, they'd get right round one end, but they couldn't get round the other. It was up and down. I joined them a couple of times because I liked physical training at the time. Not as much as I liked after I got into India. I got really into it, really good into it there.
And boxing? Was any boxing arranged, organised?
No. There's no space for it. I didn't see any space at all, actually. It was really crowded, the ship. There's no doubt about it. If there'd been an accident there, there was no earthly chance of anybody. There were ships, boats and that on the side, you know, they get off, but... we had two or three trials of... get your stuff and get out, sort of style, you know, to your point where you had to
boat
be.
Boat drill kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where you had to be. You all had a belt to put on. We carried the belt with us. And we were on the top all day. We had no place down below. Three of us in this corner. We never shifted out of there. We moved around the ship during the day. We moved around, but when it was getting towards evening, we were in the corner before him, and all us one stopped there to keep the space and keep your coats and anything else that you had with you. You know, you didn't have much with you, like, because your stuff was in a bag in the dump downstairs somewhere.
Do you recall the name of the ship?
The Master. I'll never forget that. We had a burial at sea.
How did that happen?
How did it happen? I don't know. We saw the burial, bits of it, like. They just slid the man over on a board over the side of the ship. They told us that the funeral was going to be such and such a time. If you wanted to go and have a look, if you could get anywhere, well, we did. We got higher up on the next deck, got permission to go, and just went and asked. And they said, yes, as long as you come down again when you finish. And we went up on the deck, and one of the sergeants said, I'll be responsible. So we were up on the deck looking down on them, watching them doing it down there. We got a lot of the lads up that were on the draft, up a height.
Was this a soldier or a sailor?
I think he's a soldier. I think he was. I don't know. But I think he was a soldier. I'm not sure. But I know we were told afterwards that the Nivasa had a record that every journey it did, there was a burial at sea. Now, I knew of other one or two after that, because they did a lot of trips to India, and the first thing I used to say was there a burial at sea? Yes, how did you know? We're just asking. Now, since I've been out of the army here, there was a school friend of my daughter. Her relative was going on a school trip on one of these ships, around Italy in that way, Nivasa. I said, well, you tell her there'll be a funeral on that ship somewhere. Somebody poured into the sea, there'll be a funeral on that ship. And they just laughed at me. They said, no, but once you come back, you broke our nose. Hey, Mr. Rochester, you were right, it was.
What was the food like on the ship? Was it different from what you'd been getting in the depots and the
Yes, barracks? It was. It was a bit sloppier, but it was edible. We ate it. It was more or less a lot of stews. A lot of stews on it. There was too many people. To get reasonable food on it and carry it to you, you know, carry it down the deck and that. The Navy blokes did a lot of the work, but we had to find a couple on each on each table to get the stuff off them and onto the plates. They were coming in tins with lids on, and you had to get it off there onto the plates and serve it out on there. But as far as I can remember, it was edible as long as you could eat it. There's a lot of them couldn't eat it, you know, they just saw it and ran like the devil, because it wasn't very smooth all the way through the Mediterranean, actually.
Were the canteen facilities for
yes,
the men?
Yes, there was tea places and biscuits and things like that, you know, in their little shops.
Could they get alcohol?
I couldn't tell you. I shouldn't think so, I couldn't tell you. They might have done, but I wouldn't know.
What places did you call in on the way through?
Aden. We pulled in at Aden, went through the canal first. We didn't touch... we didn't stop at the top of the canal. We went straight through the canal and pulled around. We stopped at Aden on the outside. We weren't allowed off the ship, but we stopped there for a few hours. People got on. Some got off and some got on there. That's all. We didn't stop anywhere else. Bombay was the next one. Stopped at Bombay. And we didn't stop at the gateway of Bombay, where all the powers had been stopped. You know about that, do you? We didn't stop there. We went past there into a little harbour. And we got onto a train.
What was your first impression, your very first impressions of India?
I've got here at last. I remember seeing that one. I got my feet on the ground with you. Got here at last. I've got my feet on India. I wonder what it's like.
Were you still in your khaki uniform?
Yeah. Still in my khaki uniform. Yes.
How long had the journey taken?
I think it was about 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, or something like that. It took a long time. It took a long time. It was much longer than it does now, because the troop ship didn't go very fast at all. It took us 3 weeks to go to Cairo, or rather to come from Cairo to England. Just over 3 weeks when I came on leave. But I was pleased to get there. At least I'm at India, and I've always wanted to be here. Ever since my name came, I've followed my name, and I would like to be here. And I've got my feet on the floor, and I said, I'm here at last. I remember that. Then from there, we went to the station, Bombay Station. We had food. We had some food given to us in a little room in the station. I don't know where it came from, but we were in a room in the station, and we got a sort of plate of something and something to eat. I couldn't tell you what it was, but we had something to eat there. Then we got on the train, and we were given a sandwich. We were given a little parcel with a sandwich. I can't remember where that come from. Anyhow, we got something to eat there on a plate. I remember that. And there wasn't much eating because I think it was Indian food. So we just... food never bothered it. I never had any. I can't remember it. We didn't get any. We didn't eat any there because we didn't like it. You know. Then we got this parcel of sandwiches. And we got on the train. And it was just like an ordinary tram car, the train. You know, the thin lats. And you could sit in the back and you could look all the way through right through the train and underneath. And where we were sitting, that was a bed. You could lift that seat up, and there was rifle racks underneath. There was timbers underneath, cut where your rifle could fit in if you had one. We didn't have one, but we travelled later on with them. We wondered what they were like. Lifted it up, have a look. And then the back lifts up and clicks on again to makes another bed. Then the rack at the top is the third. So you get a three-bedder on each side. And you can look through the whole length of the train, right through. And the bedding and everything else are just lats about that big. You know, just like the tram cars. They weren't like that anyhow. They were just open spaces. But these are all lats all the way down.
You didn't have a mattress to lie on of any kind?
No.
Soften it?
No. No, we were in the train. We travelled. I don't think many of them lie down. They just lay on it during the day. I think half of them sat up at night. And because it was an open train, all the way, open carriage anyhow, all the way through. We were all on the one carriage.
What initial sights of India impressed you?
I like the big entrance as you come into India, where the Lords and Sir John Anderson landed there, and we were on parade there for him. All the big cheeses landed at the gateway of India, and the troops that were on the peninsula and in those barracks had to form the Guards of Honour for coming and going. You know, one day they're coming in, the next day the other one goes out.
Did any of the poverty hit you straight away?
We didn't see any at the moment. We saw it in the train later on, in the villages, in the outer country, where there were little, they looked like straw houses, you know, you didn't know what they were built of, mutty. They looked dreadful. But later on, when you got in the country yourself, on your feet, and you saw what they were like concrete. It was cow dung and water, sand on the earth, and a bit of cow dung and mixed in with it, and that, you know, and the sun baked it, and it was like concrete. It was solid enough, but when you first see them from a distance, you don't know what they look like. You know, there's more straw hanging about them than that enough, but the people, particularly the women, looked dreadful, dowdy, dirty. You know, I mean, they had an awful lot of black stuff on, dark colours on them. And that. We weren't allowed out of the train. We just travelled through. It took us about 3 days, I think.
Were there stops where natives came to try to sell you things?
Yes, yes.
Was this allowed, or were you warned against it?
We were warned by the two sergeants, two of the sergeants anyhow, who had had a longer time out there, who were trying to tell us all, don't buy anything outside at all. We'll try and get you something proper, and there will be a place where we can get something to eat. You know, go and buy it and come back in the train and eat it in the train. And we're about halfway down.
Was this because the food may have dirt or whatever?
We're out in the country and they're just trying to keep you away from it. It was Indian food, and it saw what had happened at the other place, you know, where they couldn't eat it after stuff, and it's the same kind of stuff. And it's not very hygienic at all. The water wasn't so good. You hadn't to drink the water either. You had to keep off the water if you can. We could drink the water on the train because it was in carboy? In the carboy with a tap on the bottom. You could drink that, but that was all. What they call the place we stopped?
How did you toilet on the train? Was there a toilet on
it? Yes, there was a toilet at the end of the train, one at each end on the train. That was all right. I can't remember. I know we went, the railway line went out of Bombay, turned north, and then east, and we travelled along that, in that direction, and it stopped about halfway across India. Patna? No, it's not, that's not it. Patna. It's something like Patna, in the middle, where you got a feed there. It was brought into us by army troops. It was brought in containers to us. And we had tin plates given to us, so we could put onto the plate. It was again like a stew, but because it was from the army lads, the English lads, we got stuck in there, you know. And we had some bread with it. We had coffee. Oh, what was coffee? I don't know. It wasn't very good, but it was liquid anyhow. It wasn't tea. It was liquid. I thought it had been tea because all the tea plantations are just north of there. And yeah, we had something to drink there as well. They refilled the water container, which was very, very good because it was getting down. They brought some couple of Indians along, and they pumped the water from one into another one on the train. I remember them doing that. And then after we got away, I think we just went straight on again for the next day and a half or something, and we got to Bombay. And when we got there...
You'd left Bombay?
Sorry, we got to Calcutta. We were ready for something to eat, I'll tell you, when we got there. And there was a a truck waiting for us at Calcutta. We got off the train, marched to the truck, into the truck, pulled each other into the truck, sat on the floor, and then we went up to Barrackpore, which is about 12, 13, 15 miles on a road like that. Just like you think of being drawn with a ruler on the map. It's a hell of a road to march on, especially if you're in the front. And you know, that was where there was one company in Fort William, and we went straight up to the camp in Barrackpore where the other two or three companies were, and we were allocated there to our companies.
Which company did you join?
B Company. Nobby Clark was a sergeant major, and we went straight into the dining room. And then we were told us out of the dining room, straight to the washroom. At least wash your hands before we go in the dining room. We were hungry. We're straight in there. You know, everybody, sergeants and everybody, all into one place. One place was lit out for us, set out for us. But we had to go out and get a wash. Well, some of us stripped off your coats off, you know, and took your shirt off, and just threw it all over your face and dried yourself, your hands and your face, because you were stinking, sweaty and everything, you know. And then we had something to eat. Then we distributed out to the various companies. And then we were all right after that. We went and had a shower in the company showers. And
were you given lighter uniforms at that point?
No, we got them the next day. We got to Cormac store and got refitted out.
And what did they give you?
Oh, we had long trousers, and we had short trousers, shorts, long trousers, a small putty for the ankles, two or three shirts, and one jacket to go with the trousers. I think that was all we got in the way of uniform. Oh, and a hat, pith hat, the big pith hat.
Did this have the regimental badge on it, the
no,
hat?
No, just a plain hat. And there's nothing had our regimental badge on it at all. We didn't have it any on our coats or anything. No. And I think that was all, the hat. One jacket. We had to get another jacket later on. Trousers, one pair of trousers, a couple of pair of shorts. And a couple of days after that, we were back again, getting some more stuff, you know. You could buy some stuff as well when you were there if you wanted extra shirts, things like that. I think you got three shirts altogether, free. Two pair of trousers, three pair of shorts, and three shirts. And I think we only had one jacket, I'm not sure. Because you very, very seldom, you only wore the jacket if you're on guard duty. Well, that was for inspections rather, more than anything else, you know.
Did they give you any items of equipment?
Not straight away. It was two or three days before we got a rifle and your webbing equipment. Leather. It was leather equipment. It wasn't webbing. It was leather. Leather equipment. Then we fitted into the sections. Then we had to start training. And the first thing we had to do was we had a full week on the square drilling, foot drill. Because the second battalion drill was slightly different to the first battalion.
In what ways was it different?
I don't think it was, but we were told it was, and we had to do the drill. I couldn't see anything different in it at all, actually. In the rifle drill, I couldn't see any difference at all. I mean, I'd been drilling at the depot, and that's what I was. Why? When we're going to do something different? Anyhow, I was excused for going on the drill because I was a corporal. And I said to the sergeant major, "I'm sorry, sergeant major, but I would like to go and do the drill. If it's different, I want to know what it's in. I want to be able to do it because I'll be shouting orders to somebody else and probably doing the wrong ones. So I would rather go on there and do it." He said, "But it's never happened before." I said, "Well, that's all right. I mean, I've never been before, and I would like to be a member of that squad and go out." "All right," he said, "good, you can." So I went out, and I was right-hand man of the front rank. That's where I was. And we had short sleeves, you know, and short trousers on there. God, didn't I suffer. I cursed myself in the mirror two or three times for volunteering, because My arm was up like that at the finish.
Sunburn.
Cool. Didn't have to give me some sleep.
And you still had to continue, although you were suffering in this way?
Oh, yeah. I didn't suffer for the first two or three days. It was towards the end. The last day was murder. But I thought, I'll do it. I'll finish it.
Did they give you any kind of creams, I think, to help with this burning?
No, but my bearer did. I had a bearer in the camp. The platoon bearer come down and he greased me up. He greased me V-shaped neck, you know. And this part round here, my arms. This was all right. It was just this part that's usually covered, you know. And the bit that back my leg round here. This was all right at the front. It was at the back where the pain was at the back. And he greased me up all right.